Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin our career article on page 26. It's called Navigating the Changes in Companies. With me today, first, Simon Stops. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brandon. Thanks for having me. It's always good to be here on Advanced Radio, especially when we're talking about one of my favorite topics, business and careers.
You are an expert of sorts when it comes to business, right?
Well, I don't know about business, but I have had a lot of careers in the last 20 years or so.
Really? Can you tell us about some of those?
I've done everything from cutting grass to working in supermarkets to working here at Studio Classroom.
Okay, and is there like one overarching theme, not a theme, but something you've really learned from those jobs, maybe that crosses over into different jobs, something that anyone could take from a job and learn?
You're really putting me on the spot here, Brandon. I suppose in my early years, most of the work I did was mostly about earning money to save money for college. But in later years, I've been focused more on developing different kinds of skills, and especially in the education kind of area.
Okay, so it switches maybe from, you know, different seasons of life. And we also have Linda Chung. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, Brandon. Hi, Simon. It's good to be here.
You know, how about you? Have you had different jobs throughout the years?
Actually, I have. I think my work background has been quite varied. And through that work experience, I think that communication would be key in any job or any employer.
That was a well-thought-out answer, Linda.
That's right. It was.
It's good you had time to think about your answer.
She had some time while you answered. Well, what has happened as a result of poor communication? Can you give us an example of
that?
Well,
then that leads to miscommunication, and it can result in tension, let's say, between coworkers or between employer and employee, which doesn't make for a good work setting.
It doesn't, right? Communication is so important in all relationships and, of course, at work as well.
And now Brandon has got you on the spot trying to come up with answers quickly. He is tricky
that
today,
is
isn't
my
he?
My job today. I won't put myself on the spot. That wouldn't be, you know, too fun for anyone. Well, we are talking about navigating the changes in companies, and in our deck it says, are you people-oriented? And we're going to talk more later about the definition of this, and I'm going to ask our panelists what they think that really means, but so we'll get more into that later. It also says here, do you leave voicemails and discover tips that could help you on the job? Because actually we have two different topics here. The first one is power to the people, and the next one is how to text at work. So we'll be discussing these different career-related topics, and there's many things that we can take from this. So if you have your magazine, we invite you to open it up to page 26, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Navigating the changes in companies. Are you people-oriented? Do you still leave voicemails? Discover some tips that could help you on the job. Power to the people. Let's face it. While we go to the office to work, no one is expected to keep their head down the entire time they're there. Yet companies expect productivity out of their employees. That's why they're paying you to be there. No talking or socializing at all is one extreme, while the other is being able to talk to whomever you want, whenever you want, about whatever you want, even if you never quite manage to make it to your desk until 11 a.m. Both examples are equally unrealistic. So first, we have the entire gray area in between those two, and that's just during office time.
All right, so the first article, power to the people. Linda, what do you think of when you see that phrase or hear it?
Well, that's giving power or giving rights to the people or general public. But I think in this context of employer and employees, that's empowering the employees of a company.
Okay, that's right.
Putting people on the spot today, Brandon, that's a hard one. Usually when people use this phrase, power to the people, we think of it as being associated with human rights movements. And the idea is that people are taking power from the government that has maybe been denying them rights and taking it back for themselves, so people have individual rights over things like choice and voting and things like that. Usually that's what we mean when we use this phrase.
But here it's not so serious. We're talking about the workplace, but we are talking about people there being empowered in the workplace. And it starts off with the phrase, let's face it. So when you see that phrase, let's face it, you're kind of saying something that is maybe kind of matter of fact, and you just want to make a point. So here they're saying, let's face it, while we go to the office to work, no one is expected to keep their head down the entire time they're there. And so when they say, let's face it, they're saying something that probably most people would agree with, right?
Yeah, they're saying, let's be honest with each other. Mm-hmm. Let's agree.
All right, and so that phrase, keeping your head down, what does that mean? Is that like you're taking a nap, Linda? What is it?
Talking about? Not really, although some people might think that. But it's keeping a low profile. Like when you keep, literally, if you keep your head down, you don't want anybody to see you, so you might be just avoiding eye contact.
Okay.
If you've worked in an office with cubicles, you know exactly how this works. Cubicles, of course, are those little dividers between people's desks that are kind of like half walls. And so if you put your head up, you can see what's going on around you. But if you keep your head down, you can't see what's happening and no one can see you. So you're kind of hiding.
But I think really what they mean here is that you're working. Keeping your head down, focused on your work, you're working the whole time. And so they're saying no one really expects you to be working the entire time you're at work, right? Okay.
Well, it could also mean like, when you keep your head down, you don't cause any trouble, you don't raise questions, you just do what you're told to do.
Okay, true. All right, so it continues. It says, yeah, companies expect productivity out of their employees. And so, of course, that your boss wants you to be productive. They want you to, produce results. That's why they're paying you to be there. And so no talking or socializing at all is one extreme. And again, just to remind everyone, what does it mean to socialize, Simon?
Well, socialize just means to be involved socially. When we use this word social, we mean interaction with other people. And so if you're socializing, it means you're spending time with other people, talking to them, being friendly.
All right, now I want to get our panelists to weigh in on this. So when you're at work, how much socializing should be going on? For you personally, how much socializing do you want to take part in the workplace, Linda?
I mean, it should be, part of your day, but not a large part, of course. And I'm not sure how much, like, percentage-wise, I would say I spend socializing. But it is important, in building relationships with your coworkers and your superiors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it kind of breaks up the day, too, right? You don't want to have your head down just working the entire time, so you want to take a break.
Right.
Have a short conversation at the water cooler or whatever.
Exactly.
All right, Simon, how about you?
I think it depends on the business and the task that you're performing. So some tasks, they need a lot of things like brainstorming and creativity, and it's much easier to do that with a group often than it is to do with individuals. And so I think it very much depends on the type of business and the type of work.
And the type of person, right? Some people, they will want to socialize more. Others will want to just focus on their work, and maybe they'll do more of the socializing after work, right? Okay, so we see one extreme here that, you're not going to be working the entire time. But then it continues on there in line 7. After talking about socializing and so forth, it says, while the other is being able to talk to whomever you want, whenever you want, about whatever you want, even if you don't make it to your desk until 11 a.m., which is, of course, very extreme, but maybe there are some people that we might work with that could fall into that category. And that could be a distraction, of course, if you are trying to get your work done, right, Simon?
I think it could be.
All right, and so that's the other extreme. Both examples are equally unrealistic. What does that term mean, Linda?
Something that's unrealistic is not based on facts. It's a wrong idea that of what will happen.
Okay, so we probably don't see either of these playing out in the workplace because they are extremes, maybe in some cases, but not usually. So first we have the entire gray area in between. Now that's a good phrase to know, the gray area, you know, meaning that it's not black or white, of course. It's not really easy to figure out. And so you kind of have this in-between area between these two extremes. And that's usually where most people find themselves, right, Simon?
Yeah, I think that is probably accurate, probably true.
All right. But this is just during office time. Some companies, they have, you know, activities and so forth outside of office time, and that, you know, could be a very different situation. You may be more social during those times and so forth. But right now we're going to look more at the definition of people-oriented. So let's do that in our next reading for today.
Refining the definition. The phrase people-oriented is generally used to convey something that vaguely represents a company where everyone is pleasant and happy. It's fun to work there. Everyone likes his or her job, and each employee is treated well and fairly. Know any companies like that? People-oriented is a trite and ambiguous phrase that needs defining to make sure your definition is the same as the company's and that you can spot a difference if there is one.
All right, so now we're talking about the phrase people-oriented and the definition of it. And it's generally used to convey something that vaguely represents a company where everyone is pleasant and happy. All right, that term people-oriented, what does it mean, Simon?
Well, it's an interesting term because usually when we use it, we're talking about people. We're describing people with it. And so if a person is people-oriented, we're talking about a person who is very social and they like working with other people and dealing with other people regularly. But here we're using it connected to a company. Mm-hmm. And so it's much more difficult to sort of define it. And that's why they actually use that word vaguely, because vaguely suggests that it's not very well defined.
Okay, so people-oriented, you like to interact with people, you're focused on that. But is the company, are they focused on people? Do they do things that are helpful for the employees? That would be a way of being people-oriented.
Definitely. If you're people-focused or people-oriented, you're giving your employees priority. Mm. And you want to know their needs and their preferences and address those things.
Okay.
So a people-oriented company would be focused on their employees and trying to make them happy.
Okay, so we have a couple of other words here. First, convey. If you convey something, you're trying to get a message across. And then the word vaguely, Simon, what does that mean?
Well, vaguely, like we mentioned, it means sort of or a little bit. And so the idea here is that something represents a company where everyone is pleasant and happy, but it might not always mean exactly that.
And apparently the pronunciation is different in Canada.
Oh, really?
Because
how did you say it?
Simon says vaguely, and I say vaguely.
I don't think I
say
said
vaguely
it the way
too.
You said it. I think I said vaguely.
Yes, there
How
we
did
go.
You say it again?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. I'm going to be honest.
It is right. Okay, anyways. So that's a little bit about people-oriented, but this whole article is about that, so we'll be talking about it much more. So this workplace, you know, if it's people-oriented, maybe it's fun to work there, everyone likes his or her job, and each employee is treated well and fairly. That sounds like the perfect place to work, Linda. Do those places exist?
Not that I know of. It sounds really idealistic, and of course there's no perfect company, but there are probably companies that get close to it.
Yeah, maybe that's why they ask this question, know any companies like that? Maybe they're being a little sarcastic there. Maybe they are being literal. But I think it's hard to find a company that does all of this perfectly. There isn't one, right, Simon?
Well, I don't know. There are companies that are famous for having things that make them seem people-oriented, like Google jumps to mind right away. You know, you can get free meals and take a nap in your sleep pod and go down the big slide or whatever. All of these different things. But the reason I say I'm not sure how realistic this is because of there's always the other side of the coin, meaning the other side to that. So Google has all of those things because they want their employees to basically live there and work all of the time, right? And so, you know, there are benefits, but there's also a cost to it. And I suppose when you're talking about a company, the company, if it is going to survive and do well, always has to be focused on increasing its productivity.
Yeah.
And that really doesn't always fit too well with this idea of, like, fun and happy times with your coworkers and having a barbecue.
Yeah.
So there may be benefits to it, but companies tend to keep their eye on the bottom line.
That's right. So you don't, what's the motivation behind it all? You know, most people, of course, most companies, every company wants to make money, right? And so if they are doing lots of things for the employees, is it because, you know, they really care about them? Or is it because they want to make more money? Or maybe it's all kind of combined together.
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I mean, of course, you know, they focus on the bottom line and they, you know, they want high productivity. But they, you know, they want happy employees because happy employees will add to the bottom line.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like companies are trying to trick their employees into being happy so they're more productive. But there's sort of a famous example in human resources that comes from Netflix, where they produced a PowerPoint about what they wanted with their human resources strategy. And the phrase they used was, "We're a team, we're not a family." And that was sort of the idea that that business had. And so they want everybody to be working productively. They're not necessarily like a family, but that doesn't
mean... Because you already have a family.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're not happily working together, right?
Okay. All right. Well, people-oriented is a trite and ambiguous phrase that needs defining to make sure your definition matches that of your company's. All right, that word, trite, Linda.
Something that's trite, for example, this expression, people-oriented, it's been overused, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really, we don't really know what it means anymore. So it doesn't have a real meaning. Or it could just be something that's so overused, it's not really interesting or sincere anymore.
Okay, and then ambiguous, maybe it has more than one meaning.
Right,
and, so
something that's unclear.
That's unclear as a result. Okay, so this phrase, you kind of have to figure out what it means for you and what it means for your company and see the difference between the two. Maybe your company defines it one way and you define it another way.
Yeah, that's right. Especially in environments where there are, I guess, companies have poor relationships with their workers. Something like this, people-oriented, really can just mean you're treating people fairly. Right, like you're paying people on time and not cheating them out of their salaries and things like that. So it really does depend. It could also mean something much more like employee barbecues and, you know, trips to Hawaii together.
Which sounds good.
Yeah.
So you have to decide what you want. If you're happy with, of course, receiving your paycheck on time and that's good enough, well, then you're easy to please. But some people may want more, so you have to decide, if the company is right for you. And you have to ask the right questions. Let's find out about that in our last reading for today.
Asking the right questions. So what do you mean by people-oriented? Do you want a company that promotes from within and doesn't frown on gathering at the water cooler? A company where management makes a practice of being accessible. A place where customers are of paramount importance, both in philosophy and actuality, or one that is involved in its community and requires each employee to join or participate in a specific event once or twice each year. When you look closer at what this phrase means to you, you'll discover that some aspects are more important to you than others. Knowing what you mean by this phrase gives you the power to discover if the company's definition is the same as yours.
All right, so what do you mean by people-oriented, and do you want a company that promotes from within and doesn't frown on gathering at the water cooler? So this is going into some examples here. I want to ask our panelists, what again do you mean by people-oriented in the context of the workplace? What kind of workplace are you looking for? In terms of being people-oriented, Linda?
Well, earlier I mentioned communication, and that's what I would look for in a company, one that fosters communication, and or at least better communication between employees and between employer and employees, and that gives you not an environment where you can say anything, but... Mm-hmm. It does provide an opportunity to express yourself.
So what does that look like? I mean, how does that work in the workplace? Do you want to have some social gatherings after work sometimes, or how do you foster that communication?
I mean, social gatherings would help. They don't have to be that often, maybe once in a while, and, you know, it shouldn't be mandatory, but it should be based on, you know, people's preference if they want to attend or not. But in addition to social activities, just creating an atmosphere at work that people, employees, feel comfortable in sharing or expressing themselves.
All right. How about you, Simon?
I want to start by saying I don't disagree with Linda. I think what she has said is an important part of being people-oriented. But for me, I very much dislike working in chaos. And so for me, when things are people-oriented, it means things are fairly clearly laid out, like what expectations are and when things need to be done and who to talk to about what and different things like that. You know, people are going to sort of be treated fairly. You know that people are going to be directed into jobs that are well suited for them, mm-hmm. and not left sort of sitting there in jobs they can't do very well and different things like that. And so basically I would say that being people oriented, a company that is people oriented, is a company that understands how to get its employees to be as productive as they can be with the lowest possible personal cost to those employees. So without burning them out or wearing them out or whatever, it manages to get good productivity.
Okay, that is well said. And I like something that you mentioned about, you know, finding what people are good at and helping them to do that well in the workplace. So they ask some questions here. They say, do you want a company that promotes from within and doesn't frown on gathering at the water cooler? Promoting from within just means what, Linda?
That's promoting employees that are already in the company.
Hiring someone new.
From outside, yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, some bosses, they might frown on people gathering at the water cooler and having, you know, short conversations. So what does it mean if they frown on them?
Well, if you frown, it means you're making an unhappy face.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a boss frowns on something, it means the boss makes it known, makes it public that the boss does not like this thing. The opposite of frowning on something is smiling on something. Mm-hmm. And so you could say, like, the company smiles on people meeting at the water cooler, which means it encourages it or it likes when it happens.
Okay, or do you want a company where management makes a practice of being accessible? That's a good word. If you're accessible, that means that you're open to people coming to you and, you know, asking questions and so forth. And our boss here is very accessible. You can go in and talk to her almost any time. And so, you know, it's very important, I think, for the boss to be accessible, at least for most people. And then what about a place where customers are of paramount importance? your employees are of paramount importance. That's important as well, right, Simon?
Well, this is interesting because we've been talking about people-oriented as if it only means the company is focused on its employees.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite of that, obviously, is that a company, including its employees, can be very focused on customer service or the needs of its customers.
Yeah.
That's another way of being people-oriented.
That's right. And this is both in philosophy and actuality, meaning that, you know, this is the idea behind what they do, but they put it out there in practical terms. They actually do it.
Yeah, and then they give some examples of how they might actually do it. They mention involvement in the community and requiring employees to join or participate in a specific event once or twice each year. So it could be something like a fun run to raise money for charity. Or it could be, you know, sort of a Christmas gift drive or mm-hmm. some sort of charitable activity.
All right. And those things, they do help to create unity among the employees. All right. Well, when you look closer at what this phrase means to you, you'll discover that some aspects are more important or some parts are more important to you than others. And so you have to figure out when you're looking at a company, which parts really matter to you. What can you live without? And maybe that could help you, you know, make a decision when you are looking for a job. However, sometimes, you know, Simon mentioned this at the beginning, you want a job. Or maybe he mentioned that off air.
I did mention it off air.
Yeah. You want a job, right? And
yeah.
So sometimes it can be hard to find a job, so you might not think about all of these things, Simon.
Yeah, that's right. I guess it all depends on where you are in your career and where the economy is at that time. Because sometimes when people want a job, they really just need a job to make some money. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of thing isn't a big concern for them. But if you have a job and you're thinking about changing jobs, so you're in a fairly secure financial position, you might consider looking at what is it that makes possible future employees a better option or a worse option. And so this might be something that's very useful for you if you're in that situation.
All right. Well, we are all out of time for today's program, but we hope you will join us again tomorrow for day two of our career article. Until then, this is Brandon.
Simon.
Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.